John chapter 15, what we're going to be today. We are in a sermon. Our theme this year is known and love. And so, but today we're going to kind of take a, not total break, we're going to take a little bit of break from the series, and we're going to talk about the source of that being known and love, or the source of our spiritual lives, you might say, okay? So we've talked about identity, and that is who Christ is, right? These four core principles. We've talked about one of the beautiful words in Scripture that's said, right? Which is this covenant love, which refuses to let go, right? That's what hesed means, all right? We've talked about joy and how joy grows in relationship with one another, right? And we've talked about correction, how we mature one another, right? How God lovingly prunes us so that we can grow, and how we all ultimately need correction in some way or another, right? If we're not corrected, that means we're not loved. Amen? But today, we're going to look at what sort of kind of sits underneath all of that. And that is this idea of remaining in me. John 15. We're going to revisit this passage in August. But today, I'm just going to do 2 points on this topic of remaining in me, okay? Let's turn over to John chapter 15. Let's pray first. God, you are amazing. We love you. We're just so grateful, God, just for what we've been able, what we're experiencing here so far. Thank you for those of us that are here together, God. Anytime we can come together, there's a great opportunity. It's a great opportunity to love one another, to be in relationship with one another, to connect with one another, and I'm so grateful. God, to be together, I love, God, even the baby's voices in the background. They are angelic, Father, in many ways. Thank you, God, so much for our children. And I pray, God, that this is a memorable time for them. They get to come in the big church, God. And I pray that they can remember this. And, God, of course, I know they'll be grown up soon enough, God, sitting, God, probably some of them preaching, just, God, on stage singing or whatever. So may this morning bring glory to you and give you the praise you so richly deserve, Jesus. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Amen. John 15, 1 through 10. It says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that is that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's command and remain in his love. The church said,
amen. Amen. Amen.
There's a word that continues to be repeated in this, right? And that is what? Remain. 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 I don't think we need a Greek translation of this to know that remain means stay. It means dwell. It means make your home, right? Remain. And what Jesus is describing here, believe it or not, it's relational attachment. This idea of staying and making your home and staying connected with, this is relational attachment. This is not more religious effort. This is not performance. This is connection, because that's who Jesus is. He's all about connection. Amen?
Amen.
2 points. Point number one, life flows from connection. Jesus says something super direct here. He says, apart from me, you can do nothing. And that might sound threatening in some ways. It's really not. It probably would twitch a little bit for a while, but then after a while, it would die. Am I right? So you've got to stay, what? Connected. Branches. They don't strain to produce fruit. You ever notice that? They don't. Branches, they just stay connected. And they're fruitful. Amen. Fruit is sort of the natural outcome of connection. If we're connected, fruit happens. You can't help it if you're connected. That's why faith, it's not powered by effort. Faith is sustained by connection, is it not? By remaining. And honestly, you think about a woman like Edna Walters, right? And we talk about her fruitfulness, and fruitfulness right to the very end. And, you know, I'm not memorializing her again here today. But, I mean, you think about it. It's an illustration of one that was so fruitful. I don't know if you were here on Wednesday night. You heard Randall share a story about Edna, how they were out to lunch, I think, or dinner. They were out having a meal. And they were at a restaurant, and Edna just loved to share her faith. Because I think she was connected to her source, which is Jesus. And I think she loved Jesus, and she wanted everybody to know and also get connected to Jesus. Amen? She was very effective, and she would openly say, I don't know how to, I'm not the one to study the Bible, people. I bring them in and Leroy studies with them. But they were at saw a penny on the floor behind woman's chair. And she went over and picked up that penny and started a conversation and asked if the penny belonged to the woman or whoever was at the table. And then went on to say, I'm only sad that this wasn't more money so that you could buy my meal. But just struck up a conversation. But when you're connected, man, you can do that. You go, how do you do that? When you're connected to Jesus, I mean, when you're connected relationally to Jesus, you can relationally connect to other people. You just figure it out, right? Because Jesus wants to be connected with others. And the more we are in him, the more we want to be like him. The more we too want to connect with other people. And I'm an introvert. I don't get my energy from being with people. I get my energy from being alone. I love my alone time. I am that guy. I can go to the movie by myself and be happy. I love it. I can go every Monday. I have my me time. When the weather's nice, I go walk 9 holes of golf at Forest Park Highlands. I will go hit some golf balls, and I'll walk 9 holes of golf, whether I feel like it or not. It's my time alone. And when someone shows up and wants to play with me, I'm not happy about it. I know. You go, well, how could this man be a Christian? I'm just telling you. I play with them, and eventually I share my faith with them. But the first moment they show up, I'm like, oh, God, I don't want to give. I just want to be by myself. It's a flaw. I don't know what to tell you, but that's how I'm built, okay? But when I step back and I go, you know, God, thank you that I'm out on this beautiful day playing golf, and I put my headphones away, because I bring those just so I can zone out. And I put them in my bag, and I walk along, and I have a conversation with a human. It ends up being a beautiful thing. Because when we are connected to Jesus, right, we want to connect with other people. And there's many of us that are like that. Maybe you're not so flashy. Maybe you're not loud. Maybe you're not the coolest. Maybe you're not whatever. But just year after year, like Edna and Leroy, decade after decade, fruit just comes from not striving or working harder, but just staying connected. Amen? Amen. And point number two, last point, short sermon today. Love is the environment where we grow. The ecosystem that we grow best in is one that is loving. This is what we really want. As we talk about being a church that's known and loved, we want to be a church really where we are growing, because it's a place where we are embracing the love of Jesus, right? But then also spreading that love of Jesus. And the order, okay? Jesus doesn't say, obey me and I will love you. That's not what he says. In fact, it's the opposite. He says, remain in my love. Remain in my love, because love is the environment where you're going to grow the most. It's not the environment we probably want the most, right? Because sometimes we just don't want to be loved. I mean, we all want love, but there's just moments where I don't want it that way. You know, my daughters, they play volleyball. They're on the same volleyball team together, and I'm helping to coach the team, right? And we have one player on our team who I won't name, who might be one of my daughters. But she wants coaching. But she wants to tell me how to coach her all the time. She's like, don't say it like that. I'm like, well, how should I say it? And she'll be out on a court, and I'll say something. She goes, don't. She'll take the moment. But you don't say it like that, Vince. Don't talk to her like, don't say it like. And she's being genuine. She really wants to tell me how to coach her. And I think she knows that I care about her. But she wants to tell me how to love her, how to coach her. I'm going, that's not the way it works, sweetheart. I have to coach you the way I think it's best. Sometimes we're like that, right? We want to control the loving environment, okay? Control all the things around it, right?
I know about that.
But covenant love, steadfast love, or what the scripture calls chesed love, right? It's sort of this loyal love. It's this deeply committed love. And, you know, it doesn't disappear very easily. It stays there. It hangs in there with you through the ups, through the downs, through the hard times, and through the ugliness. And this is the same love that the Father has given us. It's the same love that the Father has given Jesus, and Jesus says, I give that love to you as well. Think about that. That same love God gave Jesus, Jesus says, I'm pouring it out on you as well. Isn't that amazing? And he invites us to remain in that love. And I know sometimes we're having a hard time understanding that type of love. Just like this young lady may have a hard time understanding my coaching. Or the way I like her, the way I want to help her. But man, we have a hard time grasping. But man, you don't need to earn it. You don't need to be perfect. You don't need to prove anything. He just says, just remain in it. Amen. And this is where communion becomes this beautiful time, because we didn't all come to this table together. We come and we sit at this table, and Jesus just gave us a simple little meal. A cup, wine, and juice. A simple little meal, a time of table fellowship, a time where we can come together, and it's remembering, of course, remembering his death, which we do a lot of. But I don't want you to just think and remember his death. Remember his love. And not only remember his love, but remember, he said, remain in my love. And if you're going to remember the death, just remember the outpouring of love that he's showing through all of that. But don't just think about the death part. I don't think Jesus just wants you here doing communion, just thinking about how Jesus is bloody and dead on a cross. That's not just it, okay? There is something beautiful. Remember this moment when he gathered the disciples together. And he said, I want you to stay connected to me. Just as I stay connected to the Father, I'm pouring out that same connection to you. And stay, remain in that. Hang on to that. It's through the cross. It's through the cross of Jesus, yes. We remain in him. But it's the life of Jesus That's what flows into all of our lives. That love, it just, it's overwhelming, isn't it? And it's nice to know that we all got grafted into that beautiful moment of love. But just remain. Just hang in there. And as Jesus remains with us, remember, we get to do the same with him. And those kind of lives, they do over time produce a lot of fruit. Quiet fruit, okay? Maybe not so dramatic a fruit, but just steady, steady, steady fruit over decades and decades. And fruit that will grow, amen? We're going to take communion together now, and so let's pray. God, we love you so much, Jesus, and we thank you that you've extended to us the same love that you extended to Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, that you give us that, and that you encourage us to just sort of remain in that. And it's beautiful to know that we can't really earn it, and we can't do enough to get it, and that you care so deeply about all of us. I pray that even as we take communion together today, we sort of can just imagine being around this huge table together, fellowship. And even as we are together, I pray that we have some time of reflection, but then we look around and we just are amazed at just what you've given us, how beautiful it is, how incredible the opportunity is to love you more and to be among others that are like-minded. We need you, Jesus. We thank you. We pray this in your name. Amen.